The Tom Woods Show, episode 2027.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you are surrounded by irrational, panicked people who think you're a terrible person because you don't want to lock everybody in their houses. No amount of reasoning appears to accomplish anything. And not to mention the media has done nothing but stoke fear and fail to provide context. Well, one of the many benefits you get as a supporter of The Tom Woods Show is membership inside The Tom Woods Show Elite. Recently migrated off Facebook, so if that was holding you back, no longer. This group will keep you sane and informed, and as an added bonus, it won't accuse you of wanting to kill your grandmother. Join me in there at supportinglisteners.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm with Susan May today. One of my listeners with many, many interesting things to say and who's got material for you that is going to make your life better. But before we get into the details of that, Susan, how about you introduce yourself to the folks and then maybe even how you got to start listening to the old man here?
Okay, like you said, my name is Susan May. And just to give a little background on kind of like my life story, but I'm going to be quick here. I would say the first part of my life, like childhood and young adulthood, you could call me the master of the mainstream. And what I mean by that is that I did really well in school. I was a straight A student. I went to university. I played collegiate basketball. I was a musician. And so I was kind of excelled at lots of different things. But then I became a mother, and motherhood was kind of a catalyst for me to getting out of the mainstream and just really stepping into the unknown, which was really scary for me because I had trusted that there were right answers in life. So this journey began for me about 15 years ago. And what I found is that when COVID hit, I was in a very different place. And I'm sure a lot of people that do things in a different way can understand this. If you homeschool, birth was a huge transformation for me. If you're into natural childbirth, it leads you into rabbit holes that makes you realize that what you thought was true is not always the truth. Anyways, I started listening to Tom Woods. Well, he was already on my radar. Let's not say that I started listening to him. He started being on my radar during COVID, and I was researching like crazy. I could honestly say that I became an expert about COVID, about just what was going on in the world. I would listen to 3-hour-long podcasts and watch videos that were 2-3 hours long. And I was already into alternative media, so it wasn't mainstream type stuff. And so Tom was already on my radar because I had listened to some of his talks and loved his take on things. But in the spring of, or winter, I should say, of 2021, I realized I wanted a change in my life just based on how I felt and how I was living my life. You know, I had gotten into habits of just research, research, research. And so I quit Facebook. I had been pretty vocal on Facebook and it was draining me. It was starting to drain me. So I quit Facebook, and Tom Woods' podcast became one of my habits to fill that Facebook void. As some of you know, like when you get in a habit, it can be difficult to change. And through his podcast, I learned about Stu McLaren and his tribe experience, which is basically a course to learn about launching a membership. And I, in a matter of a couple of days, decided to look at my strengths, my experience, my areas of expertise, and how I could offer that as a gift to the world and also make a living doing it, which seems like a win-win. And because of Tom's generosity, I decided to go for it. So that's kind of my story.
All right. Well, that's great. So let's talk about then specifically things that you struggled with that you wanted to improve about yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So when you say that, are you referring to the recent, when I said that with COVID 2020?
Well, there's that. I mean, because what is it that you feel like you are bringing to the table? Let's put it that way.
Right. Okay. So what I see is that there's a few things that people are struggling with. Some people may be frozen in fear. When we get stuck in these cycles of reading constantly and trying to keep up with what's going on and trying to figure out what the right answer is and what can we do to, quote, change the world, we can get stuck. A lot of people are frozen in fear because they're scared of the future for their children. I hear that a lot. People can just feel anxious, or they can feel alone. Some people are new to all of these ideas because they weren't aware of the level of corruption, the censorship that goes on that we all know about. some people are really angry. I mean, a year and a half ago, I would feel rage in my stomach. And I am not an angry person. I'm a very peaceful, calm person. And just the way that I saw things unfolding, I saw that there were treatments to help people and that people were dying unnecessarily. I saw that the elderly were dying alone and that people were being kept from them. I saw that children were being masked in schools and that there was trauma being put upon them. And I would feel that rage in the pit of my stomach. But what I gradually came to realize is that rage is not sustainable. And rage, while anger can be something that helps you move forward, it can also stop you from being productive. So basically, I wanted to get into a creative mode because we all talk about that, right? We talk about creating something that creates the world in the vision that we have. Let's not focus on what they're trying to make the world to be. Let's focus on what we know the world can be.
All right. Well, that's all great. And the thing is, when I hear you say about people living in fear, certainly there are a lot of people living in different kinds of fear. There are people who live in fear of the virus. There are people who, who didn't leave their houses for 18 months or more, or who just simply will not resume normal life, almost regardless of what happens. But at the same time, there are people on our side living in fear because we have fear of the unknown, fear of what could be coming, what the next moves are, what's going to happen to our society, what's going to happen to our kids. Now, that's, I think, a legitimate fear.
Definitely.
This virus, and what, especially after it's been hard, but there are some treatments, not as many as there should be. And, you know, there maybe the virulence isn't as bad as it was. There's no reason to be. And also, these measures people took didn't seem to really do much good anyway, so you might as well go out and live. Whereas the kinds of fears we have are real fears about real things that we see happening in other countries. They're not, we're not dreaming them up because we're psychotic. We're observing them in the real world. So in a way, I don't live my life in fear. I wouldn't describe it that way.
Right.
But I'm deeply, intensely concerned about what's going on in the world. Maybe I want to live that way because I'll feel like that's a realistic way to live.
I absolutely agree with you that those fears you mentioned are legitimate. I'm not trying to say they are not legitimate fears. The point that I think is really important is that people understand how do you conduct yourself on your daily life? Because how you live your life is in your daily habits. And habits is not something, it's not romantic or, you know, it's not like people think, oh, I just got to change my habits and that'll be a great way to change the world. It's not something that people necessarily want to think about. So I do think they are legitimate fears, but I also think that we need to examine how we're living our lives and then make changes so that we're creating something in the world, not just focusing on what could happen. Because I also believe that while they are legitimate fears, no one knows exactly how this is going to unfold in the end. And so the best way I think we can influence what does happen is by becoming empowered and being more proactive, I guess.
You talk on your website about unplugging, like we need to unplug. Now,
yes,
I definitely agree with that. There are some things like you got to unplug from the education system to the extent possible, unplug from CNN or whatever. I am not at all, and I can't remember if I said this publicly or if I just thought it, so maybe this is the first time I was saying it, but I'm not one of these, I want to go off the grid kind of people, because the grid is civilization. And, you know, over my dead body, am I going off? I don't want to live in the woods. I don't want to make my own soap. I don't, that holds zero appeal to me. I want to live in human civilization, but yet unplug from the most undesirable parts of it to the extent possible. So what does that look like for you?
Right. Okay. So yeah, that's what the UP in my Rise Up stands for, is unplugging peacefully. And I do think a lot of people, when they think of unplugging, they just take it at kind of a surface level. Like, I'm going to unplug from Facebook today or from my phone and just be in the moment, which is beneficial. But for me, it is a deeper thing, like what you were saying, unplugging from mainstream media, which in our house, we like to call the corporate press, to get the point even closer that it's not even real media. Unplugging for me from medicine and being more into alternative medicine and also the education system. So the idea is that when you unplug from those things, you become far more empowered in your life.
All right. So let's get into specifics then. So what does unplugging involve? What does it demand of me? How do I live differently?
Right. Okay. So one of the first things you need to do when you're unplugging, and this goes hand in hand with unschooling philosophy, which is homeschooling, but it's really takes homeschooling a step further, and you're almost living as if school doesn't exist. is that you need to unlearn a lot of things. So one thing that I have realized over time is that there's an imbalance in our culture between knowledge and intuition. We overemphasize knowledge, but most of the things we learn aren't even correct. So it's not just that we value knowledge, it's that we learn the wrong things. So what happens is that we have an over-reliance on experts. One of the very first things you need to start doing when you're unplugging is to start really questioning things. You need to get really curious. You have to become a critical thinker. You have to question everything you've learned before. It can be a really long process. It can be difficult. A lot of people start feeling really alone when they start doing this because they've never questioned these things before and they think that no one else is questioning them. They think that they're crazy, which is obviously far from the truth. And one of the huge benefits of the internet is that now we can find people that understand the questions we have. So really, I think unplugging for me is about finding resources that I trust and that I know have my best interests at heart, which is kind of the opposite of mainstream media.
I think probably most people listening right now are probably not watching CNN.
Oh, right.
You know, they're probably not watching MSNBC. They're not reading the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, they might feel like you don't have anything to say to them, but do you?
Right. I don't think that that is where things stop. I'm thinking of people right now. That's what I'm doing. Thinking of the people I've connected with. And while they don't watch CNN, there are still many people that feel alone. I think the last 2 years have kind of broken a lot of people's spirits. They aren't sure how to get back to a life that they love. And so I think that I do have a lot to offer, even for people that are what I call advanced unpluggers. In fact, some of the people in my community already that have joined my membership are advanced unpluggers. They already don't pay attention to the mainstream media at all, really. They homeschool and even unschool their children, which takes things a step further. And yet they still have this intense need for community because community is vital.
Right. So they've unplugged from something, but you want them to plug back into something else. That's the key.
Right. Right. So obviously we still need community. We need each other. Community is really vital. And that's the message I keep getting from people. And it's not an easy thing to build in our modern culture, which I have seen. This is not a new thing for me. I have really had a longing for a strong community since I've become a parent. So it's something that it's a skill you actually need to work on. For me, my belief is that in-person community is more ideal than online, but online community is absolutely necessary. It can be a stepping stone to finding people. It can also be life-saving for some people. Like for myself, my youngest son is on the autism spectrum, and it's just not feasible for me to get out all the time. And so my online community is really important to me, and there are a lot of people in that boat. So connecting with like-minded people is so important. And like I said, the online aspect of it is often easier than the in-person aspect. But I think one of my goals is to really encourage people and to start building that skills of building the in-person community also.
Well, that's extremely important because people feel isolated right now because they're surrounded by people in their neighborhoods who are just repeating the things they've been taught to say. And these are people who just cannot imagine being outside of the in-group. And the in-group is still remains the Fauci people. I don't know how that's possible, but that's still the in-group. That's the respectable thing to position to hold. So it is great to get on your computer, but she's just staring at a screen over and over. I mean, that's what they did to us for 18 months was to try to get us sitting there in front of screens.
Yep.
So we've got to find each other. We've got to get out from behind that screen and get out and have real life interactions with people and build little mini tribes all over the place because you need not just the connection, the intellectual connection, but because we're not disembodied spirits, we need to go out and see people.
I agree. I think what I have seen is that it all sounds good, but even with people that have these ideas, it's not always easy because of the modern pace of life, even though we have been forced to slow down these past 21 months in many places like Florida. Most people are back to a normal pace of life with busy kids, busy schedules. And so it takes commitment for people to realize, like, it's important for me to get together with other people that are on the same page and that I can feel safe with and be myself. I don't have to hide aspects of myself. I mean, I have some people in my community, like I said, we're very small right now. We're small but mighty, but I see it repeating and I see it in my own life too, where even people that value that and know it's important, it's a difficult thing to do. So I think it is something that we can encourage each other, you know, just by making little goals and habits. Like, this week, I am going to call this friend and we are going to meet up for coffee. Like, when you actually, it's just like building a business, right? You have to actually make the time. You have to say you're going to do it, put it on your calendar, and then you have to do it. You can't just hope that it's going to happen.
Hey folks, the Tom Woods mission to make your life better includes this message from Crowd Health. Open enrollment is ending soon, and a lot of people are still looking for their best healthcare option, but nobody's excited or happy about any of them, let's be honest. Crowd Health can save you 40 to 60% in healthcare costs each year. It isn't health insurance. It's a modern way to pay medical expenses. It's a community of people who are tired of paying into an obviously broken system, and being in the Crowd Health community can save hundreds of dollars monthly and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can see any doctor you want. You use their app. You can find almost any doctor in the country with a quality rating score. And you just scan your bills and throw them away. Crowd Health takes it from there. Crowd Health gets rid of the insurance middleman, passes the savings to its members. 100% of your monthly membership pays for actual healthcare costs, helping the whole Crowd Health community stay healthy while keeping more money in your pocket. Crowd Health is able to offer amazing prices because of its community of health-conscious members, but they have an amazing offer just for my listeners. Get your first 6 months for just $99 per month. That's a savings of almost 50% off their standard pricing and a lot less than one of those crappy high-deductible plans. Just go to joincrowdhealth.com/99 and use promo code WOODS. That's joincrowdhealth.com/99, promo code WOODS. Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a community-powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. You describe yourself as being, these days, as compared to before, calm, purposeful, happy, and focused. And you say that you've made big and small changes in your life. So starting a business, changing your information consumption habits, taking daily walks, quitting Facebook. I don't know if that's permanent or temporary, but also moving to Florida. Now, I know there must be people out there contemplating that.
Yes.
Can you say something about your experience?
I can. I can say a lot, actually. So we moved from Virginia, and basically we had, my husband and I, thank goodness, have been on the same page since the beginning with this. We both dove in deep with the research. So by the time the election came around last fall, we were even looking about leaving the country. We were that alarmed with the direction things were going. Eventually, what we decided was, let's move to Florida on a temporary basis. Because he was working from home, we thought, let's take advantage of that. He's working from home. There's no reason we have to stay around here. And my parents live in Florida half the year in the villages. So I thought, win-win, I'll get to be close to my parents. Now, one thing I will say is that I absolutely love the governor of Florida. I think most people on our page think he's the strongest governor in our country right now. But we moved to an area that was still very blue, and it was a college town. So at first, it was rather disappointing because there was still masks everywhere. This county was still instituting mask mandates on all of their kids at school, in stores. I would encourage people, when you're looking to move to places, pay very close attention to local politics too, which, you know, hindsight, obviously we should have too, but we made a very quick decision. We moved within, we put our house up for rent and just moved within a couple months. But I'm very happy with our decision because I think it was really an intuitive decision. We sensed that we weren't happy where we were and why not try something different? And I think that that is kind of a core message of mine, is that sometimes you just have to make a change and you don't know if it's the right change. You may not know what's going to happen. But for me, what happened is that that change of moving just actually was like a reset button. And so was quitting Facebook, which was only, I actually quit for 3 months. I got back on because I started a membership and I was tentative actually because I enjoyed being off Facebook so much. But getting back to moving, I encourage people to not be fearful of moving because that was another benefit our family had, is that my husband had lost his job previously in 2016. And in 2017, we moved to a place with, he did not even have a job. And sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith, and things really do usually work out for the best.
On the other hand, there's an expense involved in moving. I mean, it's not cheap. So that's another thing that can be holding people back.
Definitely. I mean, for us, we minimized expenses by renting our current home out. That worked out really well for us. Renting our home was a kind of a slow way to achieve our goal, because then we were able to think about whether we wanted to sell our home a year later. But you're absolutely right. It is not a cheap thing to move. And I know that that is a privilege that my family had, that, you know, we had work, you know, that we never lost our work throughout these past 2 years.
And of course, the other way to think about it is there are costs of staying put too. And they might not be entirely monetary, but they're starting to be monetary. I mean, you could be penalized in various ways because you're not getting the jab and all that. And if you think entirely in terms of money, then you would live, everybody would live in the most remote part of, let's say, North Dakota. Now, I have nothing against North Dakota. I've been there 3 times. I love the people there, right? There's nothing wrong with North Dakota. But the thing is, there's nothing to do there. And I know people say, oh, I can go snowmobiling or what. Oh, fine. Okay, there's nothing that I want to do there. So yeah, I could have an amazing sprawling estate in some remote part of North Dakota, and I would save a lot of money, but I would not enjoy. Or likewise, I could be an investment banker, and I could work from 8 till midnight, day after day, let's say, or you know, one of these high-powered occupations, and I would make more money than I make now, but there'd be no point because I couldn't enjoy any of it. So you got to think the entire picture, the whole picture of your life.
Agreed. I think there's always priorities, and priorities vary from person to person and from family to family. And you nailed it. We have similar things that we're considering, you know, when we consider right now we're renting a house and we're trying to figure out where we want to settle. And so, yeah, every family is going to have different priorities and different needs that they need to meet.
Say a quick thing, though, about education. Does this mean that everybody should be homeschooling, or what's your opinion on that?
Okay. My opinion is it's best for kids, yes, to remove them from school. But my opinion is also that it should be always a choice, just like everything. And I think that that is, if you had to say there are sides in what's going on right now, that that defines the sides. Things being pushed upon people versus free will and choice. When I started homeschooling, or I should say when we started homeschooling, although I'm the one mostly in charge of it in my family, I told my husband, because he wasn't really sold on the idea. You know, if you really think you want our kids in school, I have nothing against school. I love school. I did great in school. But I'm just drawn to this idea of homeschooling because I'm reading all these stories and their lives sound amazing. That's what I want for our family. So I was really drawn to homeschooling because of these powerful, positive stories, which I think is an important distinction. Over time, I have become more convinced that what goes on in schools is largely not great for children. And so now we've reached this tipping point where more people are seeing it, and things are becoming more extreme in schools as far as, you know, indoctrination and the beliefs that kids are exposed to every single day. I know you had my good friend Laura Swain on actually in August, and she addressed many of these points about, you know, obstacles that people think they have, you know, whether it's we only have one income, or I can't quit my job, or I'm not qualified. And these are all questions that are answered every day. And that if you don't feel confident, there are people that will show you how they have done it and how you can adapt your lifestyle to fit homeschooling in. Because, I mean, our children's futures, that's everything to us, right?
Well, no kidding. And of course, there are, you know, I'm all over the place on this subject of education, in that for a while I would say, well, if there's a good private school in your area, then homeschooling is not necessarily the only option. And I still more or less believe that. But there are just so many private schools that are crappy too. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not even just that the school, let's say, has bad teachers. It's more the whole Prussian structure of the thing.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to take this rotten public model, and the only thing we're going to remove from it is the public aspect, but we're still going to have them all regimented and, you know, and so now I wonder about that too.
Well, I will say, Tom, speaking to the private school aspect, because I have a very good friend now who is thinking of pulling from public and going to private. is that the money aspect of it is huge. Homeschooling does not need to be expensive. And so it's definitely something that people should consider. We do not spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in curriculum in our family. In fact, we do not use a curriculum. There are so many resources online now that you can get for free. You can find people in your community or in your family. If you feel like, for example, my mom was a math teacher and she's a really good math teacher. She taught calculus. So I don't need to teach my kids the math. She can teach them the math. So there's always options. And I find that people are with the private school option because they don't want their kids in public. It's amazing to see how much stress and pressure that puts on the family just to come up with the money to put them in the private school.
We've talked about your community, but tell us about the website and where people go to follow you and be part of that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So my website is called togetherwalking.com/riseup is where you will find the information about my community. Now, I know it's a little confusing. The reason it's Together Walking is because that has been my blog for a decade, which is a place where I have expressed myself. It's where I found my voice originally when I was going through all these things that many people are going through today, when I was questioning basically mainstream practices and feeling very alone. And I found that just putting out into the world how I was doing things, things that I was learning, it really lightened inside. And I started to connect with people that also did things that way. So anyways, that's the backstory of why it's togetherwalking.com/riseup. But you can find all the information about what I'm creating there. There's my mission statement right at the top. And from there, there's also a link to join a free private Facebook group that I run called Gather and Get Moving with Susan May.
Ah, sounds good. Okay, so I'll link to that, of course, in my usual way on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2027. I am sure there are people listening who say, well, that kind of sounds like me, somebody who could stand to be in a group like this and not be so isolated. All right, well, here you go. Here's your chance. So again, the link one more time.
togetherwalking.com/riseup.
Okay, so I'll link to that, tomwoods.com/2027. If you have any final words to share with us, they will be gratefully received.
Yes, I do. So recently I read a comment online with a perspective I really love, and it was about a criticism that comes up about, quote, our side, and that we sometimes seem less organized than the powers that we oppose. But this person suggested that the fact that we are dispersed and more diffuse might actually be a strength of ours. And the reason they thought that is that because we are diverse and we have many different strategies, it's more difficult to stop us. And what jumps to my mind when I think of that is the censorship, right? When we see the censorship happening online, it's almost ludicrous. Like one link is taken down and 10 get thrown back up in its place. So it's almost like you wonder, why are they even trying to do this? In that vein, I think that political activism often gets held up as the right way, or some people might think it's the only way that we can, quote, win. And I firmly disagree that it's the only strategy. And I think this is an important point because people need to understand that when we embrace our unique talents and our unique passions, we can be much stronger. And I love people that are politically active. You had on a woman recently that's a homeschool mom and she's a political activist in Baltimore. And I'm in awe of people like that. But that is not my passion and strength. So you spoke about this actually in your interview with my friend Laura Swain. You talked about how you're glad that some people are called to stay in the education system, either as professors or as teachers, and really work on changing that system. But you're also glad that you left the system because now you've created this amazing Liberty Classroom, you've created your podcast, and you feel that you've been most effective in creating change in the world through following that passion of yours. So for me, sharing my knowledge and experience and encouraging others is my gift, and I'm really good at it. Not only that, like I mentioned before, I'm not always able to partake in political activism at the level that maybe I would want to because of caring for my son. And so I think it's so important for people to understand that there's so many different answers to these problems that we face. And the best way that we can attack them is when people feel good about the life they're living. And so if you're not feeling really good right now about what you're doing in your life, I think I can help you get to a place where you feel good. Suffering is not required, necessary, or good. So there's as many different ways to create the world in our vision and problem solve as there are individuals in our movement.
Well, excellent. Exactly how I feel. So again, check out tomwoods.com/2027 and we'll get you on over to Susan's site. Well, Susan, thanks for your time. And I'm glad that you've made changes that have made your life happier and calmer, more content. We could all use a piece of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right, everybody. Let me just give you a little update on the old Tom Woods show. This week, we're going to have 4 episodes. Next week, we'll have a full week. But the week immediately after Christmas, we're just going to be off the air, enjoying family. So I'm taking a few days off this month for Christmas, but I do that every single year. And we're going to hit the ground running January 3rd, which is the first weekday of 2022. Because if all goes well, I'm going to do a whole week with one of the good friends of the Tom Woods Show and a good friend of mine. And I expect it to be outstanding. So just in case you're wondering what is happening with Woods, is everything okay? Yes, it's just my annual Christmas time slowdown. So just bear that in mind. Also, join me over there in my private group, the Tom Woods Show Elite. The cream of the crop are to be found in there. And ain't that you? Come on now. Ain't that you? You listen to all these episodes. You're in the cream of the crop. Join us all in there. It'll help keep you sane and you'll learn a lot of stuff, have some great discussions, get to know some really good people, including me. So the details, how to get in there, supportinglisteners.com. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.